ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Do you think you'd never be caught out by disinformation? Well, cast your mind back. Remember that big story about the bedbugs at the Paris Olympics? Well, that was actually a very effective Russian disinformation campaign. So effective that most people still believe it to this day. G'day, it's Hamish McDonald here. And I've learned that disinformation can be surprisingly subtle and hard to spot. If you want to join me interrogating the dark world of disinformation, stream The Matter of Facts now on ABC iView.
With the Iran war sending the price of fuel skyrocketing, the trucking industry is amongst the hardest hit, and the costs will be passed on to us, the consumers. So, how soon will the industry be electrified? And are electric semi-trailers even a thing yet? Today, Dr. Scott Dwyer from the Institute of Sustainable Futures at UTS on the advancing technology. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Scott, you're living the dream right now if you have an electric vehicle, right, and you don't have to pull up at the bowser and fill up with fuel.
Yeah, prices have been at shocking levels again.
Petrol prices are soaring way above $2 a litre for unleaded petrol as the war in the Middle East is pushing up the cost of oil.
With only 2 in 100 cars on Australian roads being electric, even if you're driving in an EV, you still have friends and families being affected by these increasing costs.
Yeah.
And also, the way the economy is still very dependent on fossil fuels means goods and services we all buy also go up. So driving a personal EV alone still doesn't solve that.
No, exactly. And as you say, you're really in the minority if you do have an EV, although I would think at this point in time there'd be a spike in interest.
That's right. And we are seeing big increase, particularly in second-hand EVs as well. So there's a lot of inquiries going into auction houses asking about how could we actually get a more affordable EV than a brand new one.
So why don't we then have a look at where we're up to when it comes to electric trucks. Now, on the road, you can see these sort of small delivery vans, small trucks, you know, from the supermarkets, from Coles, for instance. So there is a start here, isn't there?
There is, and there's probably a bit under 1,000 electric trucks on Australian roads today. So we had a few hundred sales last year, but there has been year-on-year growth. So like you said, those smaller delivery trucks and vans, also called light duty, so they're the ones you've seen going around, you know, towns and cities delivering your groceries. There's also medium-sized trucks, so you probably might have seen some of these. They're a bit rarer, but they're out there delivering your flat-packed furniture or even maintaining the electricity poles and wires. And then you've got the big, large trucks or prime movers, and they might be out there doing longer-distance grocery deliveries or, you know, or for beverage companies delivering between warehouses or even collecting our bins. And that's probably, again, not the largest, not the smallest, but there's still a growing number of these large electric trucks on our roads.
But these, you know, the big, heavy, semi-trailer type trucks, you know, that take food from one point to another, do they exist yet in an electric version?
Yeah, we've probably got around maybe 100 or so on roads today, and we're seeing new models coming all the time. So from well-known badges like Daimler, Mercedes, Volvo, and they're serving well-known brands like Linfox, DHL. Even the New South Wales Rural Fire Service has a heavy truck that they're trialling. But numbers in the grand scheme of things are still small, with many of these companies and organisations piloting them to see how they work.
Okay, so there are some here already, and we'll get to the complications revolving around those in a minute. But, you know, of course, the Chinese, they are leading the world really when it comes to EVs. So what are we seeing in China when it comes to these big, heavy-duty trucks?
So in China, you're right, the by far and away the leader in terms of low or zero emission trucks, but they've actually been investing a lot in liquefied natural gas or LNG heavy trucks in China for some time, and they've been supporting and receiving government support from that, so they make quite successful inroads. But battery electric heavy trucks are starting to catch up as battery costs fall, and different support from the government and different city municipalities increases. So yes, China's certainly leading there, but we're also seeing countries or jurisdictions in Europe, US also start to roll out electrification of heavy trucks. But typically there's far more incentives and government support to decarbonize and electrify these heavy trucks than there are here in Australia today.
Just tell me, what's the range of these sort of trucks? I mean, China's a pretty big country, that's for sure. How far can they travel on the batteries that they've got?
Well, we're probably seeing range, and at least with the models available in Australia, of 300 to 400 kilometres. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the most common on the roads in Australia today. But we're seeing new ones, new models and variants being announced in the next year or so. And they're claiming, you know, 500 kilometer range of, you know, 100% charge. And there's even one company who's talking about bringing a truck with 700 kilometer range. So as we've seen with passenger electric vehicles, if you bought a EV 5 years ago compared to one you're buying today, the range is much better and they can charge faster. And it's the same with the heavy trucks as well.
But after you reach that 300 kilometres or 500 kilometres, what do you do? Do these truckies, can they just plug these big, huge trucks in? And then how long does it take to charge them? Or is there a way that they switch out these batteries? How does it work?
Well, mostly in Australia today, it's you're charging using charging infrastructure, and that could be charging at the depot, you know, where the business is based, at the warehouse. And some of these, that kind of slower charging, it can take 2 to 8 hours. And that's fine if you're doing some deliveries during the day and then you're charging overnight. If you're having to travel further than that, then you're probably looking at some fast charging. And again, you can have these in depots or your warehouses, or even using public ones if they're available. And that can take you 45 minutes to a few hours. And then the other type is really ultra fast charging. So you're looking at, you know, highway routes or high power charging hubs. And with that, you're really looking at anything from 20 minutes to an hour. But there are swappable batteries a lot in China, and there is government support for that. And in Australia, there is a local company who is developing swap out batteries and really retrofitting existing trucks, taking out the diesel engines, putting in electric, and then having a swappable battery. So it's still probably a bit further behind in Australia, but China again is seeing more of these innovations being tested and trialed and funded.
It must be quite something though to swap out a battery, which must be pretty large, to say the least. I mean, how do they do that?
Yeah, so it's, again, it involves so in some of the cases, robotics. So it's quite complex technology that they have to have working. There's a number of standby batteries, which they have stocked there that they charge and then swap in and out. But it does need a certain level of standardization for those batteries across different models of truck. So the vehicles need to be suitable, and it's quite capital intensive to have these standby batteries sitting there, and the technology and the swap out as well. But on the pro side, if we can be quicker to get the trucks on their way, less reliant on building a full charging network, and then I suppose the batteries can be more easily reused or recycled as well. So there's some pros and cons there.
Well, Scott, let's consider then more deeply the challenges that we will need to overcome so we can really have a mass rollout of these electric trucks, which would be really vital in a time like this when we're in the middle of this fuel crisis and we're all a little concerned about goods getting across the country.
From Queensland to South Australia, nearly 250 service stations are out of diesel.
If your fuel has gone up a dollar a litre, you're $500 worse off. I can't drive up and down the road losing money.
The fuel prices are just crippling. It's just unbelievable. Sorry, I might get a little emotional. Our fuel bill has gone up $20,000 already this month. Yeah, it's not looking good for anybody.
Now, charging electric trucks, I mean, that takes so much electricity, I assume. That would in itself cost quite a bit.
Yeah, and it's such an important thing as well. We need to be expanding and optimizing the EV charging infrastructure, and whether that's for passenger EVs or trucks or buses. So for the trucks, we're going to need a mix of different types of charging. So some of those slow, fast and ultra fast methods. But the challenges here, like you've said, well, first you've got to find the suitable site. Then you need to get approvals, and that could be site owners, councils, community. And then, you know, also knowing that you've got to have enough electrical capacity there as well. So working with the electricity network. So what we're seeing is in Australia and actually in some overseas markets as well, it can take 12 to 24 months for some of the ultra fast charging sites from, you know, site identification to energizing.
And given Australia is so huge, Scott, what would we be looking at? How would we begin a rollout so we could have these electric trucks? Where would we start?
Yeah, well, it's actually interesting because we're seeing some of these sites being developed already. So that can give us a bit of an insight into where it might develop first. So looking at Australia, we're seeing areas around the outskirts of our cities or commercial precincts. So thinking around Geelong, which is there's a public, one of the first public charging for truck sites going in there with, you know, lots of extra space and length for handling longer trucks. And we're seeing, you know, a charging depot in Alexandria and Sydney. So in a commercial lot, also in Laverton in Melbourne. And I think what you'll start to see is that kind of expand out, but it's going to be important that the infrastructure and the public charging infrastructure along highways and freight routes expands with it. And also that there'll be some direction at the federal level. Because really it's a national freight issue. So we want there to be direction coming and support at the national level.
Yeah. So at the moment, really close to cities along the eastern seaboard. But, you know, if we're talking about hauling livestock, you know, through the outback or through the bush or grain from farms, that wouldn't be possible at this point, I presume. Would it ever be realistic, do you think?
Yeah, they're more challenging, obviously, the longer haul, interstate, rural routes or those very heavy road trains. But I think what we'll see is probably an evolution of the technology and different solutions that may help those, you know, more difficult routes and loads be electrified. But obviously that might be a little bit way off if we're looking at, okay, where's the low hanging fruit? What can we actually do today, where it makes sense? And then hopefully expand into some of these more challenging use cases.
All right. So, Scott, there are, of course, serious challenges to overcome before long-haul trucking goes electric, although there are some promising signs from what you're saying. How long or how many decades, how many years will it be, do you think, before we regularly see these electric semi-trailers on our roads?
What we've seen in other markets like China is this hockey stick growth as all of a sudden you hit a tipping point and the costs start to come down, the economics start to make sense. But I don't think we're that far behind regions like Europe and US, obviously bigger markets. We're seeing more heavy electric trucks on the roads, but it's really going to take, I think, coordinated policy action if we're going to see that significant share of heavy EVs. So, you know, by 2030, 2035, we're really going to want to see a good section of the new heavy vehicle sales, I think, electric, and hopefully, say 30%, 40%, 50%. And then by 2050, obviously, we're looking at net zero. So we're going to want to be close to 100%.
All right. But once it happens, when it does happen, it's a transition that will be what? A game changer. It will benefit us all, particularly in a time of crisis like now.
I'd say so. And you know, we think about electric trucks helping reduce carbon emissions, but there's also, you know, and obviously people are worried about the cost of petrol and diesel, but we've also got the other benefits like electric truck could bring. So, you know, productivity, again, decarbonizing heavy vehicles can really help that. Traffic related air pollution really contributes to, you know, thousands of premature deaths and hospitalizations and other illnesses. And again, electric trucks can help contribute some to that. So I think there's additional flow-on benefits. You know, Australia, if it decides to support this sector, can really know, capitalise on some of these other benefits at the same time.
Dr. Scott Dwyer is Research Director at the Institute for Sustainable Futures at the University of Technology, Sydney. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed and Sam Dunn. Audio production by Anna John. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.